I've been very, very fortunate in my life to have a lot of wonderful women in my life. And I've learned a lot from the women in my life. Of course, like most, I would start with my mother, who taught me that the table was never so full that you couldn't bring one more into the house. My mother was she's still alive. She's a very, very generous and sociable person. I remember growing up, we had this woman who lived across the street, and she'd had kind of a tough life, but she was very hard on everybody. Very, very difficult with so many people. She called the police repeatedly about things that I'm not even sure were violations, but they would come by. She'd call the Department of Public Works when she thought that the plow had been a little too close to her lawn in the wintertime. She just had a lot of different things that made her not so easy to get along with. And quite frankly, there were times in my own life growing up where she wasn't so easy and pleasant. But then she had a stroke. And I learned a lot from my mother about love and care. Because my mother would go over many times a week to write letters for her, to write Christmas cards for her, because she was unable to do so herself. She was not easy to understand, but my mother stayed with it and was very kind. And I learned that there was something wonderful about that. This year, I just moved my mother out of her home, and what was so wonderful to me was to be able to see how she had fostered all of these relationships with her neighbors so that she was really never alone, even though she was living alone. I think of some other women in my life. My grandmother, who was much, not surprisingly, I guess, like my mother, very much always the heart of our family. The one who invited many. There were always somebody, guests of some sort, at her house. I think of some of the teachers that I had in school that challenged me, that made me work a little bit harder than I thought I could. I think of the professors that I've had who challenged me in ways that I didn't even realize I knew I needed to be challenged. Professors at St. Louis University and Loyola University in Chicago, who really taught me the value of study for its own sake, and taught me to accept challenges, and helped me to recognize that it is important always to bring out your best, to cooperate with the gifts that God has given you. When I was president of the high school that we have as Dominicans in Chicago, I learned a lot about this gospel. I didn't realize that I had a little bit of scribe in me. Because when you're a high school president, you're going out to raise money. That's your job, one of them anyway. And I was in the crowd and in the group of people that I had no business being a part of because they were far wealthier than I was. But I learned I had to be careful. I had to think about my mother, who was so kind and generous, lest I become caught up in an importance I neither had nor deserved. That's what we encounter in today's first reading and in today's gospel. Two unbelievably generous women who challenge us to think today about who we are and what we do with the gifts that we have been given. In the first reading, there is this very suffering woman who, quite frankly, if you read the rest of the story, is going to develop this wonderful relationship with the prophet Elijah. Now, to be sure, some of this relationship is fostered by the care that we don't hear about today, that Elijah begs God to provide for her son. So close is this relationship, she kind of builds a little addition onto her modest house so that he has a place to sleep. She trusts him for one reason, He is the prophet of God. That's it. She doesn't really know. She believes that he's not a con artist, that he is one who speaks the word of God to people. He has been desperate himself because just a few short verses before this, he sits himself under a tree and says, "Lord, let me die," because nothing has been going well. And this encounter with this very generous woman who is willing to trust and to give all that she has simply because he's a prophet, that act of generosity mirrors the act of generosity that Elijah has in proclaiming the word of God, even though it's not going so well for him. He's the only prophet left, and they're trying to kill him. In the gospel, we get a picture of what true generosity means from the widow, who doesn't have much, but she gives. She is generous. One of the things that I think Jesus is also trying to remind us in, or about rather, in these readings, is that material possessions alone are not enough to bring peace. If you think about the way that marketing works in this country, the whole point of marketing, I believe, and I fall susceptible to this many times, is that the things I have are never good enough, new enough, fast enough, beautiful enough. If I've got iPhone number whatever, well, I've got to get the next one because that number's bigger. It must be better, right? The number's bigger. I look at some of the things that I desire and I say, I don't need any of these things that I'm looking at. Why is it that I seek those things at the expense of recognizing what I already have in my life? I've been very taken by the situation in Haiti, which has been so desperate and so terrible. But one of the things that was amazing to me, it wasn't a surprise, but amazing nonetheless, was the absolute undependability of the electric grid in Haiti. So undependable that hospitals rely on generators to produce electricity, which means they need ready access to fuel at the ports in Port-au-Prince. But because the country is in such shambles, so much of that territory is being controlled by rival gangs to the point where fuel isn't available, which means that electricity isn't available. It doesn't matter to me that I don't have the latest iPhone when hospitals don't have electricity to treat their patients. That's what this widow reminds us of so powerfully, that we've been given a lot of things and we have to be generous. I always correct students when they say, "I'm starving." It's like, no, you're not starving. You're hungry. There is a world of difference between being hungry and starving. These widows remind us that when we have little, we have to rely on God. We have much less to rely on. Rather than trying to rely on ourselves, our good works, and our efforts to produce a security that we often discover isn't really quite so secure. Do you trust God? I know I find it very hard to trust God in my life. I have to say part of it is because he doesn't always have a good track record at keeping people out of trouble. There are certainly people who follow him who wind up becoming martyrs, and I'm not so sure I want to be a martyr. I don't know that I have the faith to be a martyr. Do you trust God? That's what these women are calling us to recognize. That's what women just like them have called us to recognize. We look at the greatness of a Mother Teresa, for example, the unbelievable generosity of a Catherine Drexel, the great courage and witness of the Maryknoll sisters that were killed in El Salvador. the tremendous witness of women all over the world who remind us that it is women and men that make us complete. That one without the other does not do that. And oftentimes I think it is in our world that we don't always recognize what I would call the beauty of women in terms of the gifts and talents that they have to offer. Let us pray today that we might generously trust in God so that we might give what we have received, so that we might receive far more from God than we give.